The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the start of something beautiful. A small acquaintance has blossomed. It's ripened into a precious friendship. I could have never seen what was coming for me. Hangs at the skate park, hangs by the beach. My life, it feels like.
Everybody, and welcome to my brother, me, and advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
What is up, citizens of Trav Nation? It's me, your middlest brother and brave leader, Travis Big Dog Wolf Wolf, vroom vroom McElroy.
What's up, Trav Nation? It's me, your sweet baby brother, 30 under 30, built for tough, Griffin McElroy. I'm not sure, guys, if I'm even allowed to be doing this right now.
Yeah, dude, you should be taking the day off, propping your feet up like all of our government employees. It's anarchy in the USA. We have no government.
Fear not.
And that's
fear
not. Not the worst, like, obviously bad in a lot of ways, but
bad
considering
in so many ways.
So many ways.
Serious, but for serious the joking of the show.
But for the joking of the show, I'm just saying the government's not been great lately.
Well, you're welcome.
Certain parts of it.
Trav Nation, I want to use this platform to extend the offer.
Yes.
Of encompassing what you guys call the United States of America.
Okay. Let's just go down the list, Trav Nation, because I really, you know, help would certainly be appreciated.
Yeah.
We've burned a lot of bridges lately. The folks down on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
And the White House, actually, I should say, primarily, they are also.
Yeah.
So
and the courts.
And the courts. So the parks are closed.
We'd open those back up.
How?
Just unlocking the gates, mostly.
You don't think you'd get in trouble doing that?
Well, we'd start paying the employees. So then who's going to stop us? The employees?
That's cool. Yeah. No, you
and
can
also,
definitely do that.
Every bear is actually a citizen of Trav Nation automatically.
Every bear, you said?
Every bear.
That's cool.
Even the weird ones.
The one that I need you to focus on, Trav, and Trav Nation, because it is the one that I hate the most about the shutdown, I think, is that our beloved air traffic controllers will continue to work.
Uh-huh.
Right.
But will not be compensated for that work. That's the exact headspace I want them at, baby.
Yeah,
that's
for
exactly
sure.
Where I want them. I want them ragged, bone tired.
Yeah,
and broke,
broken, angry.
Christ.
Here's my plan for that. I'm gonna start.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, I'm gonna start paying them, and I'm gonna hire more of them, and I'm gonna give them breaks and comfy like stuff. In there, I'm gonna redo a lot of this.
That'll
stuff.
Do it, man. No
I'll
money.
I'll get the Property Brothers up in there and have the Property Brothers
like
fix.
Make the tower cute. That's cool.
Fix all their shit. Give them race car beds.
That'll fix it. That'll do it.
Tell me the next 10 words, and I'll drop out of this podcast right now. You know, Travis, like,
I
sounds
just,
nice.
I gave you a lot of words, Justin.
How are you funding it?
He's gonna help out too, landing the planes. Travis, break off a little bit of how that sounds. If you were in the tower,
Little to the left. Oh, yeah, you got it. Now, kiss those wheels on the ground. Smooch them right down.
Yeah.
That's a good plane kiss. That kind of thing.
Yeah, for that sure. Kind that of kind of thing, for sure. That ought to get
and
our,
I'm gonna,
our boys in blue down safely.
What I'm going to do, Justin, to raise the money to pay for it, I'm going to sell the tanks. Now, I know what you're wondering. No, I'm not going to sell them to other countries.
Okay.
I'm
going
to take the bullets out of them.
Yes, good, smart.
And
the bullets are so big in the tanks.
Yeah, I'm going to take the bullets out so there won't be any bullets available. Don't get it twisted. And then I'm just going to sell them to American collectors. I think that
That's
there's going to
cool.
be a real market for these things. We could put them in parades. Yes. Just put them all over the place. Let kids drive them if they want to. Maybe set up like an amusement park area
tank
where they're corned off. Yeah,
tank
like,
town for kids with yeah, corn dogs.
Tanks, yeah. You can drive the tanks
shoot,
around.
The tanks shoot corn dogs out super fast. That's cool.
And I'm going to let Trav Nation citizens pay $1 each per vote to vote on what we're going to name each tank.
Hey, Trav, can I talk to you over here for a second?
Yeah.
You notice how uncomfortable Jess is talking about political?
Yeah, man. Here I am talking about selling
tanks.
What's
that all about?
And he's
like, I feel like we're over here having a good time talking about Tank Town. Obviously, it's a fucking horrifying situation 100% of the time all around the world.
What, Tank Town?
But, like, it's our job as jokesters to say things like a tank that shoots corn dogs. Justin's over there looking like he has diarrhea and he doesn't know what to do about it.
No, I was thinking.
Yeah.
I got lost in my own head for a second.
Because of all my good ideas?
Because of how
it was.
Good
it was
were.
When you were going to get rid of all the tanks.
Not get rid of.
About
sell
them.
Good. This part's important. Good collectors.
Yeah.
And you said you wouldn't. Okay, here's what happened.
Tanks can neither be created nor destroyed. So I can't get rid of them.
That's important to know.
I could sink them in the ocean and make reefs out of them for the fishes.
Cool.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Hang up, Juice, about tanks.
Oh, no. It's just when Travis started talking about not selling the tanks, I started thinking about that time in Superman went and scooped up all of our weapons and threw them in the sun. Remember that part in Superman 4? A lot of people don't talk about it, but in Superman 4, Superman scoops up all the nuclear weapons on the planet, which he knows about. X-rays, okay. So he gets all the nuclear bombs on the planet, and then he throws them in the sun.
Yeah.
Do you think... I mean, Superman's great and indestructible. We love it. But do you think he talked to any science guys about that at all? And because, like, I'm not a bombologist for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, it does seem wild that he just kind of made that call.
Do you think, too, when he landed back and he was like, I got rid of all the nuclear weapons, like, the science guys and stuff were like, oh, my God, you got rid of all the nuclear weapons and all the stuff to make more nuclear weapons? And he was like, oh, shit.
Oh, no, whoops.
I'll be right back. I got to go get a bunch of stuff.
I think Supes probably did some back-of-the-napkin math. According to They Might Be Giants, a million Earths could fit inside of one sun and a million nuclear bombs can fit in one Earth.
Yeah.
So that's like a Google bombs. I think it would take quite a lot to blow up the sun, but it would have been nice to know if he had done like a press conference beforehand, even shortly beforehand, like, hey, I'm Superman, I'm going to take your bombs. There's nothing you can do to stop me. I'm going to throw them into the sun. If you happen to be a sunologist and you know stuff about how that could be disastrous for the whole solar system, hit me up. And he has like a public
right
number.
Now, I'm going to pick them all up. I'm going to park them on Saturn as a placeholder. Yeah. And then
farther
when you guys
sun.
Tell me it's cool, I'm going to take them to the sun. If we want to do them one at a time, just to see how it goes.
10 at a time, I think is okay. We'll do 10 at a time. If there's like a crazy flare, I'll be like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yowza.
Stop. It's like, it's exactly
Superman,
the
Superman, hi. Jeff's Daily Planet. Couldn't you just throw them anywhere else in the whole universe? Couldn't
no, because if he throws it, and he doesn't throw it far enough, so it falls back down to Earth.
And also, like Doomsday's out there and Megazord, all the other Superman bad guys, and they could collect those things up. You know what I mean?
He could hit the Guardians of the Galaxy with that. Then where are we at?
Yeah, you gotta be careful with that. Captain Planet told him to do it, and he was like, yeah, let's do it.
It is a bad idea to talk about this, considering that it is, 4 or 5 days before the episode comes out while we record this. We don't know what the situation is. I did see Mike Johnson on the news this morning, that absolutely fucking chode penis wrinkle, up on a stage saying, if the Democrats don't get it together, we're going to have to start laying off federal workers. You hate that shit, don't you,
also,
Michael? Michael, that's your least favorite.
Gonna have to start.
We hate laying off federal. Fuck off, chode nuts.
Get him.
get him, Griffin. Who
I hate how much oxygen I share with that absolute fucking chode wrinkle. Fuck that dude.
Is he one of the big guys or what's up?
He came out, someone came up to him and was like, hey, your president's embarrassing himself, man. And he's like, I didn't see the whole military speech thing. Eat both of these nuts, Mike Johnson, you fucking chode.
Did he see the thing where Trump posted an AI video of himself saying a thing he never said?
Michael!
I did it.
Didn't see that one.
Did see it.
No, I was watching the new season of The Bear. I know I'm a little behind, but I haven't been keeping up with current events.
I only read Le Monde. Is it in Le Monde?
This is an advice show. I want to help you, the people. I collect rubber ducks. In recent years, this has become pretty common, and they're popping up in more and more stores. As a result, when I mention my collection nowadays, I'll get a casual, oh, I have a friend who collects them too, or something casual like that. The thing is, I bet you've used casual twice in two clauses. My friend, I know exactly what your problem is with this new wave of duck collectors, huh? It couldn't be that they're casual, huh? The thing is that I've been collecting for about 15 years and have about three. I didn't even finish the fucking question. I knew had your number, not that exact number. I would have guessed 300 unique ducks. How can I casually assert my dominance as the inevitably superior collector? That's from Buoyancy Bother in Virginia.
We're going to have to put on the hat of someone who celebrates a sort of gatekeeping, which is not our usual position to take. But I do think I do fully understand why it would get your hackles up. My oldest says that he has a rubber duck collection because he gets a rubber duck every time he goes to the dentist. My friends, he has like nine. And then some of them are cool. He has one big glittery one. I like that a lot. Cool. That's a cool rubber duck. He's got a whole spot in his bedroom where he displays them. That's great. But come on, man.
I don't
three hundo.
I don't. Listen, I'm going to gatekeeping for a second. Good. I don't know that differentiating a collection versus I have several of those. That's more of like, let's make words mean something more than it is gate. If you said, I like rubber ducks, and you said, you don't like rubber ducks, I like rubber ducks because I have 300 of them. But if you're like, yeah, my friend collects those, and you're like, how many do they have? And they're like, five. It's like, no, they have several of them.
But it's just like everybody feels like a phony all the time, man.
Not me.
You don't need to do any.
That's true. And Travis doesn't. Some people don't.
Okay.
But most of
a lot of people feel like a phony all the time. You don't have to do anything to make people feel like a phony, right? I understand the compulsion. But if you peacock a little bit, they're going to feel in the.
It's a different bird. Travis is right on this one. It's a fully different bird. They don't even look anything.
If you are ostentatious.
Thank you.
With your ducks. Then I think that they're going to fill in the blanks there, and they're going to see what a joke they are. They're going to recognize themselves for the jabroni that they are. They're going to know that your superiority there. They're going to know the tip of the flying V, such as it is.
Now, let me ask you this, Justin. Is there a scenario in which question asker is talking about, very proudly, their duck collection, and then one of said jabronis tries to steal a little bit of that limelight of like, yeah, I also do that.
No, if they frame it like, no big deal, I also do ducks.
Yeah, everybody does that. That's when you have to drop. That's when you should. Okay.
Yeah.
There is one pretty good option here, and that is to have a bag of 20 to 30 discreet ducks on you at all times.
Burners, not your faves. Keep
not
those
your
at home.
Faves.
No.
You need to be able to toss some on the ground and walk away. That's how good your collection is. These are literal trash to me. This is gravel.
Hold up like a special limited edition, like Christina Aguilera, like Dirty Era sort of like cross promo record launch duck. And they're like, you're like, pretty cool, huh? And they're like, holy shit, where'd you even get that? You say, and you crush it in your hand. You throw it in the garbage. You say, doesn't matter. I have 30 of them.
I got 30 of these.
I have 30!
I want your ducks all over my floor.
probably the first people to make that. Sometimes it feels like I feel an energy in the room, and it's like we're definitely the first people to ever make a rubber duck collection based Christina Aguilera dirty joke.
Yeah, like, I feel like after we do it, sometimes we take like two beats.
We take a breath. That was cool
for the historians to write it down. Like,
yeah, it's
okay,
to clip it. Awesome.
Clip it out.
Clip that.
It makes it easier for history to find it. When history is trying to find it later, the big ones.
There's little parentheses around the joke.
Like a little parenthetical, a silence parenthetical.
And that was when they changed everything.
That's one of the times when they changed everything that week.
This was the episode The Music Died. We'll all remember. I think a great solve for this, and this is one that you can use for so many fucking things that you want to use as a conversation starter or a subtle means of displaying your superiority in your duck collection is set it as your desktop on your phone, your wallpaper, whatever you call it. People call it different things in different countries. Your desktop wallpaper on your phone. Make it all of your ducks. People are going to see that because it's bright and colorful. They'll be like, wow, it's a lot of ducks. You say, thanks, they're mine. Do you want to see more photos of them? Don't tell me about your friend. They'll be too embarrassed. They'll know if they see it, they'll know that it's not appropriate to bring up their friend.
Yeah, I just feel like if you've already dropped a bag of 20 to 30 discreet ducks on the Griffins, is just a whole lot of
well, mine, extra, Juice, you know? Think about how many times you're doing that a day. They only have 300 ducks, so they could pull off this gambit you approximately 10 times.
You have to go back for your boys. You gotta get your
ducks fly together. You know what I mean?
You can drop them in a flourish, but ducks fly together.
Oh man, holy shit! Though, I almost think because of my prioritizing avoiding uncomfortable social scenarios, it would be worse to have this be public information. Because do you know how many fucking scrowdy row, basic ass, canary yellow rubber ducks you are going to get sitting on your you come in, they know it's your birthday, they put a basic ass rubber duck, like, enjoy. What the fuck am I going to do with this?
This platonic
ideal of a rubber duck.
There is an early level of intervention, though, where you set that up like, listen, I love receiving ducks
if
they are, like, appropriate for the collection. And now you've given your coworkers or friends, like, the hunt, right, where they're going to bring it and, like, what about this one? I've done this one is special. And when they get the approval on that, that's when it feels so good. And it's like, yeah, that's worthy. You nailed it. That's great.
If you had a big rubber duck collection, wouldn't you want to display it in, like, a huge, like, hook-a-duck rotating aquatic display? Like, you would have a whole room in your house, and people would walk in, and they're just going. Like, they're not sitting on a shelf collecting dust.
Oh, like, yeah, they're like going. In a ring of moving water.
They're in a ring of moving water, like a carnival game. But these are absolutely not child's prizes. These are adult collector's items. That would be so cool.
Man, I hate to use the word adult before things. It just is. I think it's been ruined for me. The second you say adult collector's items, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
What's up with these ducks?
There they are. They are butt ducks.
I love popsicles, and I was thinking about maybe bringing some to work as a delightful afternoon snack. There's a freezer, and the popsicles are individually wrapped. What's the etiquette on bringing these treats into the office? For context, I'm specifically speaking about the frozen treats on a stick, not the flavored ice in a sleeve or iced cream. The flavor would most likely be fruit flavored, so no bonbons.
Thank you.
You're really building this fucking plane while you're flying in, aren't you, pal?
These are important details, though. In a professional business setting,
maybe it would be better if you said...
What the fuck do you think bomb pops taste like,
bomb
friendo?
Pop, give me a... It's a kadoozie. Give me a fucking... A push pop. Maybe that would be unconventional. I might...
They're all fruit flavors. There's two kinds of flavors.
I know, but Justin, you have to recognize in a professional setting, you see Derek from accounting bust out a fruit-flavored popsicle.
Sorry. You said flute, so we
flute
have to stop.
Well, it's playable. Like those candies, you know, like Toot Sweets from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Fuck, I'd destroy a Toot Sweet right now.
Yeah, we all would. And but you see that, and it's like, now that's almost a professional affectation. I see a bomb pop, I'm like, that's a child working an adult's job.
Yeah. What's the adult? I guess there are, like, those fucking fancy chocolate ones that you see where they, like, really drizzle on that good chocolate stuff.
But it's not an ice cream one, Griffin. It is a
fruit flavor.
You're right.
It's not an ice cream. It's a fruit flavor. You're right.
The ones we've tried to do this where it's like, hey, there's pieces of real fruit inside. And, like, give those to our kids. And our kids are like, what do you think I want out of a popsicle experience? Because, Father, this is not it.
It's not the world's hardest strawberry. I'll tell you that much.
It's just like the gap between, it's like the biggest gap in the world is the gap between how kids think they feel about smoothies and how kids really feel about smoothies.
For sure.
100%.
Kids are obsessed because we had a lot of cartoons that were in their age that were like,
trying to popularize, you know, healthy eating, right? Like,
yeah,
you gotta eat smoothies. It meant, like, Daniel Tiger, like, went apeshit for it, and they love, conceptually love smoothies.
Well, that was, he was doing protein. He was protein packing because he wanted to get huge like his dad. He wanted to get huge like his dad. That was the whole thing where the, do you remember the, like, the chunk of episodes where the lion moved into town and, like, took, he, like, walked up to Daniel Tiger's dad and, like, fucking punched him in the face and then took,
and
his,
took
house.
His watch. Yeah,
took his house and his watch, wife and his watch.
And it's like, his dad is like, the powder's not gonna cut it, Daniel. If you want real gains, you gotta eat a gazelle.
So he had to protein pack on. Do you remember that? It was the one Prince Wednesday did die. He died from the lion attack.
Kids don't like smoothies. No, that's all don't. I was gonna say. I can't. Where you guys at with popsicles? Because I bring these flavored treats out to the pool. Yeah. My kids love them.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't like any popsicles.
That's cool. That's. I understand.
I don't like any
that.
Popsicles.
They give me a tummy ache, weirdly, especially the ones in the plastic sleeve. It's just like straight sugar water.
Now, you say weirdly. They contain carbon, so I don't understand why it is weird that they give you a tummy ache.
I will fuck absolutely with a Philly swirl. Sometimes those come in cups with a stick, but they do make them in popsicle forms. Those are so lit. Justin, you
please
don't.
Please, people, Philly swirl people, please make a box of the cotton candy ones. You only put two in there, and it's ruining my life.
Yeah.
Please.
I mean,
for
it's
the
my
love
least
of God.
Favorite, but for the kids, gotta
please
have it.
Please do a box of cotton candy.
Hey, as long as we're on this, I see you all out there, popsicle makers, Danimals, all y'all. You know you got one good flavor and one shit flavor, and you do combo boxes. To get that shit flavor out of the warehouse, cut it the fuck out.
Cut it out. Yeah. We're on to you.
And stop putting people they like on... stop putting people they like on flavors they don't.
Yes.
Oh, I'm tired of telling my kid I can't get him Olaf's horseradish crunch
because
my son Jeremy despises horseradish.
Yeah.
So I can't buy it for him.
You don't like spaghetti. I'm not giving you the ragu with the battle bus on it, dude.
I'm getting Spidey spaghetti. You don't like Spidey spaghetti yogurt.
Him. You hate spaghetti. You love Spider-Man. He won't make it taste good. It won't taste how Spider-Man feels to you to see him.
I know the spaghetti's like webs, but it doesn't. It doesn't translate,
it
honey.
That doesn't taste good.
I can't
good
make the
you.
Pasta look more like Spider-Man. There's only so much I can make it look. I know it fell apart with your spoon, sweetie. You're supposed to.
It's supposed to.
You're supposed to eat Spider-Man.
I like it because I like spaghetti, but you don't.
You don't.
I get to enjoy Spider-Man's flavor, but you don't because you don't like it.
And I bought the family size pack of it because we both thought it was going to be a thing and we committed to it. Now watch me eat it. You got to label your box of popsicles, first of all. But you also got to know that with individually wrapped popsicle, you are creating a very stealable situation.
Oh, the
it is
most
one of
stealable.
The more stealable foods.
Anything individually wrapped in like a box of more than four, you could totally lose one of those just to theft.
Shrinkage.
Shrinkage is what they do call it. What if you made your own popsicles? This is a fun summertime activity. And it's not really summer anymore, but it is fun to make a popsicle, and then no one's going to really go after those. And I think if they see you eating them and they see like little herbs and shit floating around in there, it does lend it a certain, like, I don't know, veneer of adulthood. Wow, you guys fucking hated that idea.
No, I liked it so much.
You despised that idea.
I was picturing in my head, Griffin, when anytime we talk about like an office behavior outside of any like regular established procedures, right?
Right.
I start to think, and how does this translate to, oh, that's Tom, the blank guy, the office blank guy.
The office popsicle.
The office popsicle guy. Okay, I can see it. He's every day, 1:30, he has a popsicle to get him over that hump and make it to 5 o'clock. We love that.
Probably good.
Bespoke popsicle guy. Who makes his own like basil lemonade? Popsicles.
I think that's cool. I think that's kind of cool.
That's what I'm trying to determine.
I'd get into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we might have a solution to this problem from Wheeling, West Virginia, with our own Budget Saver. That company is the company behind Twin Pops.
No way.
Twin Pops might be just the thing. Because imagine anytime someone goes to the freezer and they come out with one, you have a little bell.
Yes.
And it's like, hello.
Gotcha.
What are we here?
You will not get much work done. You will be primarily watching the kitchen to see if someone comes out with one of these pops.
But when they come out, it's like, splitsies.
Yes.
You know, two fur. There's two there. One for me. Thank you. One
fur.
One for me. one fur. One fur.
Two fur. One fur. One fur. Two fur.
One fur. We're splitting.
Two for us, one for me.
We're splitting them.
Have you ever tried to split one of those in a clean half? Not doable. Twin Pops.
Dude,
get up to Wheeling because we could probably access that factory.
You need perforation.
Just a little perforation, please. That's all I'm asking.
Get a daughter that cries if you do it wrong. You'll learn. I got Martin Yan's crazy butcher knife above my stove for when my kid wants a twin pop and I can't deal with the breakdown and I need perfect precision.
That perfect
that carbon
forage.
Steel.
We don't talk about the
15
weird
degrees of
I've gotten
carbon steel.
I've gotten so good at eyeballing splitting a drink into two cups.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I bet it's to the micron. You know what I mean? Like,
We got a pizza delivered earlier this week, and something happened to it en route, and it showed up. And when we opened the box, it was like half squished into like one half of the box. It was a tragedy. A lot of the cheese had just like come off almost all the slices that had all kind of like squished into each other. It was a horrible situation. And Gus is so picky about his pizza. If he sees any sauce through the cheese stratum, he will not fuck with it. So this is me in the fucking kitchen hovering over this pizza mush, trying to create a solid layer of cheese coverage on one of these reconstructed slices, and then like putting it in the broiler for a second to try to melt the cheese. Because if he knows it's patchwork stuff, he's not gonna fuck with
it. We can rebuild him.
The most degrading moment of my entire life.
Oh, Griff, buddy.
And then, of course, you know, me and Rachel had to eat the slop because the kids got the slices.
Gotta eat the slop.
That's parenthood.
That's dinner, baby. Can we go to the menu?
Oh, dang it, Griffin. I was going to say it, and then
I technically didn't say it. I said a series of syllables. Yeah.
Can I tell you what's wild? I'm already there.
Laurel.
Shit.
I'm in the money zone.
Travis, who's in there with you?
You two.
No, I...
Travis, that's not us.
What?
That's not us.
Travis, get out of there.
It's better with you.
You know why I like doing ads for Squarespace?
Why?
I like a sponsor that is all about creation. Mm. That's what Squarespace for me. It is a creative tool. You got a project you want to do. You don't know the best way to get started. A website is a great place to get going. And I bet
that if Squarespace was around at the dawn of time, God would have used it to create the earth.
Probably. With these like best-in-class templates? Absolutely, he would have.
But the problem is that they're created by world-class designers, and I don't think there were any world-class designers before God made the earth.
Okay, that's the first thing you would have made then, the designers.
In the beginning, there was designers.
You all take it from here.
The word was designers, and the word was with designers. Thank you so much, Squarespace. Oh, there's
Squarespace.
More.
Yeah, you got to say more about it, or else people are kind of a little bit confused still. You can use these websites. They're not just vanity things. You can use them to sell stuff. You could use them to sell your products if you want. You could use it to organize events. Whatever you want to do with a website, Squarespace makes it really easy. Head to squarespace.com/mybrother for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code MYBROTHER to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
I'm ready to launch right now into savings.
Whoa!
With Rocket Money!
Fuck.
Imagine Rocket Money is like a defense system with little rockets targeted at your unused subscriptions. And when those unused subscriptions try to hove into your bank account, it's like, pew, 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 pew. And it takes those unwanted subscriptions out. Takes them down.
That's a little
yeah, wow, that's such a violent way of thinking about it, isn't
it? I don't know if Rocket Money would like that. Like, for me,
I was thinking more like the Space Invaders video game, you know? Not like, there's no gore. There would be no gore, Griffin. Is that what you're concerned about?
So you're like, you have like your Fart Piano Deluxe subscription that your son signed you up for because his fingerprint, I guess, is close enough to yours.
Yeah.
And it zaps that, but there's no blood or anything.
No, just pixels. Just pixels. Okay.
And then I don't have to pay $6.99 a fucking week because Rocket Money helped me out, and now I'm like saving Buku Bucks every year and meeting all my financial
Buku
goals.
Wait, Buku Bucks? Are you serious?
Yeah, man, Buku Bucks. It was Buku Bucks a week. Rocket Money also, it shows you all your expenses in one place, and it helps you, you know, lower your bills and reach your financial goals and grow your savings. And they have
like a grown-up.
Like a grown-up, they've got over 5 million members that have saved over a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, with members saving up to $740 a year when they use all the app's premium features.
So cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/mybrother today. That's rocketmoney.com/mybrother. rocketmoney.com/mybrother.
Hey, Alexis.
Hey, Ella.
What animal has the most teeth?
I would guess a shark.
A snail.
No, snails don't have teeth.
They have thousands and they are freaky looking.
No, I don't want that to be true. Okay. Did you know that the hippocampus in your brain is named after the half horse, half fish sea creature found in Greek mythology?
I didn't know that, but we're meant to be doing animal trivia and hippocampus isn't a real animal.
Well, that doesn't matter on Comfort Creatures.
You're right, it doesn't matter at all.
Comfort Creatures is a cozy show for lovers of animals of all shapes and sizes, real and unreal.
If that sounds like your cup of tea, then join us every Thursday for new episodes on MaximumFun.org.
Are you a celebrity? Are you searching for meaning, connection, and a little levity these days? Hi, I'm Kumail Nanjiani, actor, writer, and yes, a celebrity too. And I've got four words for you. Bullseye with Jesse Thorne. Are you tired of junkets, red carpets, sick of the endless spicy snacks you have to eat? Do you want to connect with someone who gets your work and laugh with you a little? Join me, Andre 3000, Tom Hanks, Tina Fey, and many more and become a guest on Bullseye with Jesse Thorne from NPR and Maximum Fun.
All right.
I don't want to wait for the next segment to begin because I got to start right now.
That was so cool.
I want a munch!
Squad!
I want to munch!
Squad! All-timer intro! Damn!
Welcome to Munch Squad's podcast, and the podcast profiling the latest and greatest in brand eating.
That was a little bit like when Frampton runs like the tube from his mouth into his guitar.
Yeah, the talk box, baby.
And he talks through it.
Do you fear what I hear?
That was a really good Peter Frampton talk box impression, Travis.
Thank you.
Who knew? Okay.
I can never do it again.
Never again?
It's rare that, like an entire movement can be summed up in one image, and awesome. It's even rarer that I would do that in an audio format, but
we've made it. Yeah, so,
looks like we made it.
Can I say,
we can I just say what
this?
Is in,
yeah, yeah, so this is
Trav,
what
just drop it,
what we as modern day human beings might at first mistake for a windy sign.
Yeah, big windy sign up in the sky.
So, admittedly, without any of the excess stuff on it, just the Wendy's picture. And then where it would say Wendy's, it says Tendies.
Right.
And there's a godlike beam of light shining upon it from the heavens.
There's a weird number of God rays in this picture. They basically just swapped the W with a T. And you can tell that's what happened because the kerning is like fucked up.
Yes.
Like you can tell a W was supposed to go there, not a capital T.
Yeah.
But
this is the headline.
Without context, though, I just want to say Tendies doesn't read like chicken tenders to me so much as like, we're going to treat you tenderly here at Wendy's.
Yeah, I could see that.
There's the headline, guys. A new chicken era dawns at Wendy's. That's the story.
from
we are still
QSR.
Cleaning up after the last chicken era. The fact that a new one has settled this quickly
has already begun.
This is going to confuse the future paleontologists who dig up all these chicken bones.
Yeah, for sure. There was a whole extinction event that they're not even going to see.
Wendy's Fresh Never Frozen Square Burgers holds deep roots in chicken, too, with its spicy chicken sandwich arriving in 1995, a good 24 years before the so-called chicken sandwich wars enveloped the category on social media.
Okay.
But U.S. CMO Lindsay Rutkowski and the team recognized more pressing trends swirling in recent years. Guys, we're eating a wild amount of chicken. We can't get enough of this stuff. That's the thing. And they cannot sell enough of it through the traditional method, hence tendies.
What is that, Justin? Because so far it just looks like they're announcing they photoshopped a sign.
For Wendy's, Radkowski says, the brand had two choices, as is often the case when elevates into a frenzy. It could race to join in, or it could watch, learn, and arrive to market on its own terms.
Fucking great. It's so cool for a restaurant to put out a press release saying, we're smart.
Yeah,
we are very
these other dummies
smart,
rushed to market to make money off the trend. We waited until the trend started to die down, and now we're going to try to scrape up all the money that's left.
The fix, the leavings.
Radkowski says Wendy's spent more than a year, quote, probably closer to 18 months on development of the COVID vaccine.
You don't know? You don't have to correct. You can fix that in the press release.
No, yeah, 100%. They should know exactly how long that they did. This is a news story, though.
Did you say on the development of the COVID vaccine, Justin?
I was just reflecting on how it was a similar time frame to create the first COVID vaccine.
These tendies will kill COVID in laboratory conditions.
Yeah.
Wendy's involved franchisees and tested through a couple of markets. In addition to flavor and appearance, it wanted to pilot tendies in the real world. Guys, they took 18 months to come up with
chicken change the
tenders.
One letter. Yeah.
Yeah. They got six sauces: Wendy's signature sweet chili, scorching hot, creamy ranch, honey barbecue, and honey mustard. Can we not have a little bit more originality in the sauce department, guys? 18 months to come up with. What?
Tendies.
What?
They could have just spent that time going to the Los Angeles Convention Center, trying the chicken tenders there, which are my favorite chicken tenders I've ever eaten.
Really good chicken tenders.
And just recreate those.
Just make those.
Returning to the broader theme for Wendy's, Radkowski says it would have been easy to look around and observe the chicken surge.
And maybe smart. Maybe we should have done that.
Good idea.
Yeah, we don't know.
Uh-oh.
Wait, fuck.
Wendy's wanted to begin the process with customers. Quote, why are they eating more chicken now than they have? And as we started to do the work on our menu more recently, as we were looking at the next chapter for Wendy's, staying modern, relevant to younger QSR customers, as we refined our consumer target. So that's why it's, and then she says, simply, core menu or innovation, quote, we've done a lot with chicken.
Cool.
Extremely sinister.
No doubt.
So
for
sinister.
Sure.
Most of which we couldn't tell our priest about. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's a evil. There's a wickedness there. We're really known for flavor, she adds. So when we thought about what's out there right now, the choices consumers have and the unique place we believe Wendy's can carve out, it wasn't only about the tender itself, but the sauces became a huge part of the conversation.
Did
and
they?
Really where we saw a lot of excitement when we did work with the customers. If you can get excited about honey barbecue at this point, I don't know what to tell you.
Can
You're
I
on a
I
whole
mean?
Nother thing than you know I want to get on your level.
On,
that's cool.
I was on TikTok today, and I saw an ad for Garbage Pail Kids books written by R.L. Stine. That just happened, right?
Yeah.
And you want me to get excited about honey mustard?
Yeah. And even that, I assume, juiced a very small reaction from you. Like, that's what it takes
even
to get
you
to 10%.
Interesting.
Can I say
honey
that
mustard?
To be nutting over honey mustard is crazy.
So far from this press release, what I have gathered is they spent 18 months determining that people like to eat chicken tenders with sauces.
I literally still do not know what the news is here. What is the action item for me as a consumer of Wendy's?
Well, I mean, I did clarify that the entirety of the story was contained within the image, and I was not. I mean, tendies, guys. Tendies.
They have chicken tenders. They decided to not make them taste like shit, and people like dipping them in stuff.
They had a press release.
They didn't have chicken tenders before? They didn't? These are new chicken tenders? They didn't have chicken tenders?
I can't speak to that with confidence.
I didn't know that. So, like, who gives a shit, Wendy's?
Yeah, Griffin, but then... they go on... There's many paragraphs. Here's another quote from Red Kosky. You think about a portfolio.
What?
How do you maximize reach and grow coverage with consumers and have things that are very unique and distinct to Wendy's?
By having honey mustard.
One example is sweet chili. Wendy's could have unveiled a sweet and sour sauce and stayed pedestrian, she says. But this presented a chance to unroll an updated take.
There's
more flavor intensity and balance, and it's relevant to a Gen Z category that flocks to sauces. Something else Wendy's noticed, and guys, this one is really going to trip you up. They noticed through research and hands-on tests where customers, again, with a spotlight on younger cohorts, like to mix sauces and make meals more personal. They combine ranch with scorching hot, for instance.
That
mixability, it really leads to endless ways you can create flavor with Wendy's sauces.
But what
that was in mind when we thought about how the sauces complement each other within the lineup as well.
That's cool.
So
that's
then cool. Was it? You had a good think about like, but what if they mix creamy ranch with it? What if they mix creamy ranch in there?
Originally, all of our sauces were sort of chemically repulsive to each other. Like oil and water, they would not actually mix, but we realized...
One of them was baking soda and vinegar. And guys, that was a mistake.
That was not a good sauce.
Wendy's signature is Wendy's signature creamy sauce with hints of black pepper and hot sauce. I mean, credit to them. I'm not going to put that in my body. Like, I don't know. Do you guys think... Okay. I have a big idea for you.
Okay.
They recently
you
did gotta a
You got to get
very...
this fucking picture of chicken tenders off my screen, Jesse. It is making me hungry
so
as a
hungry.
Wolf. Yeah.
They did a Wendy's promotion recently with Wednesday, where it was like a bunch of wild sauces, and they were all colored, so you couldn't really tell what the sauces were, and you had to kind of guess.
And they had names like blood from a dog.
Here is my theory. This is my fan theory. I think that those are all the sauces that they made for tests, and then they were like, "Fuck, nope, all is too crazy. We can't. Well, let's just keep the normal ones, okay?"
They didn't like mummy piss, guys. They did not like mummy piss.
They hated mummy piss.
We gotta get rid of that.
I told you we should have done Chipotle mummy piss. That's where the youth cohort is at. Chipotle mummy piss.
These young freaks like it spicy. They don't care that it's piss. They don't care that it's piss. It's the spice that they crave.
There's a reason Wendy's dropped six options instead of one. Redkowski admits it's a crowded space, but being distinctly Wendy's in a sea of fast food options is nothing new to the brand's marketing ethos.
Yeah. Okay.
Like,
none of that means shit. Like, those are just words. Those are words put in an order that our human brains ascribe meaning to, and yet say fucking nothing.
Guys.
Speaking of, would you like a full quote about why it is called this?
Yeah.
Because you are probably wondering about it, right? Like, how could you? We like to have fun. And it doesn't have to be super serious.
Okay.
No.
Our name so easily lends itself to a nickname for the product.
Yeah.
And the way we're going to talk about it is our tenders are so bold and juicy and crispy and the sauces are so amazing, you're going to want to know them on a first name basis.
This is beyond, I think AI wrote this, and it's putting me in a headspace of like, maybe it's all AI matrix, human battery, and I'm asleep. And because there's simply no way a human being got a hand on this particular ball. That is a profoundly wild thing to say.
I've never been eating any food and thought, I gotta know this food's first name.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear that. A sentence from the boss of Wendy's about the people that made up the Wendy's chicken tenders?
I can geek out on some of what the team went through, she says, of the ideation process. It takes time, and we had conversations once we knew what was happening competitively. We said, we're not going to rush it. We're not going to change our launch date. We're going to do it our way. The boxes don't say Tendies. They say Wendy's. I don't ever want to go there again.
Did it take them 18 months?
That sucks, dude.
I don't ever want to go there again.
Can I ask a serious question? And we've talked about this, obviously, on Munch Squad a lot before.
Yeah.
You're plugged into the QSR space.
Have to.
How many, just rough.
Unwilling captive.
Just rough estimate. How many major news publications, how many verticals are out there covering the QSR space that would need the help of a full press release to write the story, Wendy's has chicken tenders now?
QSR is not, it's not just for marketing, Griffin. It's about, it's a historical document. You know what
so
I mean?
So like we three have to, or four, maybe, top publications?
Tops.
Okay. So this is a job for someone. It's to write this whole thing.
The whole thing.
For those four places and you. That's crazy. That's like a really bespoke service journalism.
It's really wild that they're doing it. Almost feels like vanity journalism. Like we'll name a star after you. You know what I mean? Like we'll do a long feature story about how you came up with Tendies, so you can frame it.
I can't stress.
This
enough.
Looks like maybe, I think this is just so they have something to frame in the offices, right?
You've shared the details here with us, Justin, and I once again have to reiterate a little bit of telling on themselves once again. 18 months spent. People like chicken tenders, dipping in sauces. Sometimes they mix them. And have you ever noticed that Wendy's sounds like Tendies?
Yeah, so I want to look at the packaging real quick. I know, Griffin, can you just clock, if you just look at the packaging.
They don't do, and I got to say, pictures of chicken tenders without dip are repugnant to me. This does nothing for me.
Yeah, it's really rough. It's really rough. They need to be dipped in something. Looking at them, by the way, this is a core product offering.
Okay, they're having a picnic out on a picnic table. They've got their fries sort of splayed out, and it looks like the fries are just raw dogging it on the picnic table. And that's
they don't want you
crazy.
To look at the fries. Don't look at the fries right now. We're sorry the fries are touching our picnic table. It's
crazy. That's crazy, man.
So you look at the packaging there. The details work down to packaging. Tendies come in vessels built for dunking with a dip cut out that holds vessels. Built for dunking.
That's a submarine. A submarine is a vessel built for dunking.
Take upon yourself this sacrament. Take the vessel, the empty vessel.
In a way, my children, we are all vessels meant for dunking. Come, get baptized.
Cut out. It's got a dip cup cut. Dip shot. It's got a dip cup cut out that holds sauces. Quote, it's a reflect. It's a reflection of how consumers want to eat.
Rudofsky I feel like I'm says. Looking in a fucking mirror. Yeah, look
it's a reflection of how consumers want to eat. We want to enable a better elevated experience of a little perforation or a cutout for the sauce.
I those do are like perforation.
That, those are before. Things that take a little bit of time, Travis. An 18-month timeline in total, and then producing for 6,000 restaurants in the U.S. at scale, training our system. We wanted to do it the right way. Which made it, maybe
Derek
wasn't
wanted
the fast-
to rush it. Derek maybe said, the- let's get it out there, and we fired him.
This is what she's, which maybe meant it wasn't maybe the fastest as you think about some of our competitors and other things that have launched recently.
I'm looking right now at the Wendy's online website, at the menu for placing a delivery or pickup order at Wendy's. And this particular menu item is found under tenders, and you can get 3-piece tenders or 4-piece tenders. They don't even call them Wendy's tendies on the menu. I've never thought of this before. I never thought this of a press release, but it's lying. Like
it's
this
lying.
A, the
man.
Press release is actually lying, and none of this is actually true or happening.
The chain often frames their approach as quote not outspending the other guys, but outplaying them, which is
4D chess.
Yeah, man. Wendy's. Don't tell us about that. That's the podcast game we've been playing the whole time.
Yeah. Be late to trends. Do them very poorly.
You see it everywhere, from sass on social media to collaborations, such as its SpongeBob Krabby Patty setup, to the more recent Wednesday Meal of Misfortune, i.e., please take all these grody sauces. We don't know what to do. The landfill smells weird, and we can't put any more in the landfill. The landfill guy said we couldn't put any more there. He said no more. So you gotta eat them, please.
He said rats have been crawling out of the landfill wrong.
Yeah,
because
we've
of
been
all
looking
the
into like a cave system in Nevada where they said we could store these things for up to 50 years. Okay. But
Griffin, I thought he said they've been crawling out strong. So I do feel a little bit better. I feel a little bit better about wrong than strong.
Delicious and smoky, but incorrect from a physiological sort of standpoint.
This is I'll tell you how this ends, because it really does go on. Like, we will make it really fun and bring to life a craft that went into the development of the product itself, the experience, the sauces, so that people can experience it in a hands-on, immersive way. That's because the Tendy's locations are going to have a red carpet feel. There's going to be Tendy's restaurants, you see.
A red carpet feel.
Tendy's experience. It's a playful takeover approach.
Where are these going to happen? Because if I don't fucking see it, I am not going to believe it.
Probably California.
Man, they get all the fucking fun stuff, man.
And probably, yeah. And one thing Rutkowski wants to make clear, however, is Tendy's are not a fleeting moment in the product timeline.
Oh, okay.
They're joining Wendy's central offerings and giving the brand another anchor to leverage a chicken category that's driving growth and occasions throughout the segment. And again, she says, that's why we took the time to do it right.
To leverage our tenders.
I want to eat chicken tenders so
bad. Yeah, dude.
So bad.
Yeah. Not these. Maybe, but think. Like any. They're all kind of the same.
Well, there's a Popeyes by my house that I think I might order lunch from now.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wendy's, for making me think about Popeyes.
Thank you, Wendy's, for reminding us about Popeyes.
I mean, I do need to, like, we can joke, but, like, you guys still like Wendy's. You guys still like Wendy's, right?
Not again, Griffin.
nice try.
Trav, Justin would have, I would have gotten
I know,
Justin.
I know Justin
would have,
but I can Thank see you, into the deep, dark pit of your soul,
dude.
Sir.
Thanks, Travis. I appreciate
it. Yeah, baby. Let's wrap this up. I'm tired.
I'm Travis.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you're enjoying some Wendy's chicken tenders. Griff, do you like Wendy's?
We got some new merch up in the merch store over at macroymerch.com. There's a Taz Hunger beanie with some rad eyeball design. It's going to keep you warm and spooky in these cold and spooky months. And 10% of all of our merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels, which offers services like educational programs, water drops in the desert, day laborer outreach, Familias Reunitas, immigration bond fund program, and shelter aid support in Tijuana to aid migrants and asylum seekers in need. It's again macroymerch.com. And hey, we got a few more shows coming up. Not many opportunities to come see us. If you live in or around Salt Lake City or San Diego, we're coming up there in just like, I don't know, next week, I guess?
Something like that. We've also got the Taz show we're doing on that tour is going to be our 50th Taz live show. So to celebrate, we're doing a balance show with Erica Ishii as a special guest, and Griffin is going to be running that one.
It's going to be so much fun.
And tickets are on sale now. You can go to bit.ly/McElroy Tours. Also, Champions Grove is coming back for its third year for Memorial Day weekend in May.
Sponsored by Travis, didn't you say it was going to be sponsored by Wendy's?
No, and the tickets for that are going to go on sale November 3rd at 12 p.m. Eastern time. Get all the details at championsgrove.com or by following Champions Grove on Instagram.
Yeah. Hey, thanks to Montaigne for the use of our theme song, My Life is Better With You. It's a great album. That new album is Hard to Be a Fish. All of Montaigne's music is so great. I love to listen to it at home. It gives me a break from listening to Imagine Dragons on my sort of public house speakers. Juice, do you like Imagine Dragons?
Hey, Justin, do you have the Montaigne album on CD?
Do you like Imagine Dragons, Justin?
Do we have a fear?
Justin looks like he's been killed. Justin looks like he's been killed in his chair.
Do you have the Montaigne record on CD?
Yeah, I have it on CD.
CD smells.
I feel like not. Okay, Trav, do you want to do? Do we have a fear?
We do. I'll read it.
CD's nuts.
This year, I will live faster than my fear of witnessing a tense social situation in public and being approached by John Quinones after I've failed to intervene.
That's fucking good and true and powerful.
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, My Brother. May kiss your dad square on the lips.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.